Good day, Ford Alliance. We're here one more time to talk about stuff, aka money. And as I mentioned to you last week, this is a very intimidating topic for me as a pastor, as a preacher, a speaker, if you will. And I got a little bit of a warning I need to give you, all right? For a portion of our time, I'm going to be really kind of having that pastor hat on, and I'll preach and I'll deal with a biblical text and, you know, and do so with the kind of same passion and energy that you're used to. But then for perhaps a little bit longer time, you're going to see me probably speak more as a coach, and perhaps a number of you online don't know me as well as those here. And the fire that you see from Pastor Ken is very different than the fire you might hear from Coach Ken. And I just need to warn you about this, okay? I am not mad. I'm not upset. I get excited and I go to a different type of fire when I coach because I care. I love to see people. I love winning. I really do. And so, like, I move to this place of intensity and directness as I coach because I care. And I hate to see people I love losing. And so don't for a moment misread this. The 10 and 11-year-olds that I coach in football see this side of me all the time. And they know now, like, oh, it's because he cares. Like, it's because I care. And my kids have seen it probably to the highest of level. And they, too, like, they would both, I know they would tell you, they know that it's because I care and that I love them, that I move to that place. So I just feel like I need to warn you that Coach Ken's going to come out. And it's a little different than Pastor Ken. And it's because I want us, I want you to be successful as we navigate the topic we're going to, you know, speak into today. So hopefully you understand and are feeling warned in advance. That said, we're talking about stuff, aka money, and I told you one of my fears last week, and I want to recapture it today, and it's this. It's for those of you who are guests, who are really new to our fellowship, who are just kind of randomly passing us by online in these moments, and you're thinking to yourself, typical, a pastor asking for money. Hear me out, I promise you, I and we, Ford Alliance, we don't want your money if you're our guest. We really, really don't. So don't for a moment feel that pressure from us, okay? That's not what we want. What we would love for you, though, is wherever you are, whatever community you're from, that you would find a local church that you could be a part of, because being with the people of God, like, it really matters. It's so good for us. That's what we would want, and hopefully this is a supplemental resource or, you know, something that encourages you or challenges you or maybe even helps you today, but please hear us out that really we don't want your money. So feel free to not feel that pressure at all. As we talk about stuff, though, we had to do a quick recap of just kind of our church financial situation. And I shared with you that the last 4 months were pretty tricky for us, and we had a pretty significant dip. And then Tuesday morning, I came in. That's the first day of my week. And Pam, our office administrator, hands me this check I need to sign. Now, this is just my opinion on this, okay? Y'all can totally disagree, this Ford Alliance family. This, just for me, is my least favorite check to sign every year, okay? That is what it is. It's the property tax check that we pay for the property we own in South Fort. I hate signing that check. It's like almost $15,000, and I'm like, every time it comes, right? It's just one of those things. It's a reality. You got to deal with it. And I signed that check knowing I had to sign it. We have to pay this bill. But knowing what the last few months had been and kind of having a, you know, understanding of where our accounts were at. And I was like, oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. And then I have it set up with Pam that she sends me weekly reports. So I kind of get the big picture of where things are at. And as she sent me that, I was blown away. And I just really want to pause on that and just want to thank you guys. It was the most money that we've seen come in on any week this year. And it covered that property tax bill. Like, it just covered it. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Like, I was so blown away. Even now as I say that, actually, I just got goosebumps. So I just want you to know, like, thank you so much, Ford Alliance, for just helping and being a part and being so faithful and committed. And now we kind of press into the rest of June, but the property tax bill is paid. So there's a bit of an update. But we're not here to talk about what we want from you. And I said that last week. This whole little mini-series, okay, it's not about what we want from you. It's what we want for you. It's so important that you hear my heart in that. And so last week we talked about our treasures and how they affect our heart. That for me is the most important subject when it comes to mine. Today we come to the second most important subject. It's the subject of debt. Now for some of you, this is, you know, maybe going to feel like a bit of a obsolete subject because maybe that's not an issue for you. But I would be willing to bet that most of the people in our fellowship are more like me and somewhere in this place where they navigate this reality, especially, you know, in the light of the fact that we really do live in a Keynesian-based, debt-based fiat currency system where everything is based on debt, good or bad. Bad, by the way. And it just is what it is, and so we navigate that. And so I hope that this, like I said, is really just challenging in a good way for us today. And for me, like in so many ways, as I'm reflecting on where I was heading, we're really just, you know, under the microscope for ourselves. And we want to give God access to our whole lives, including our finances and how we handle it. And so debt's important, really, really important to talk about. And as a means to get there, we're going to talk from Proverbs chapter 22 for just a brief moment, verse 7. This is, for me, the most important passage on debt in the Bible, okay? The most important one. It's so forward-speaking, direct and to the point that you can't help but see why this subject matters, okay? So this is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, and it reads like this. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, when I first studied this passage for the very first time, as I was kind of getting to understand debt a little bit more, something jumped out to me that in my studies that I had never heard before and I didn't know. And it was this, that actually this first part, the rich will, just as the rich rule the poor, I mean, in its original language, reads kind of like this. That word rich is actually in its singular form in its original language. But the word poor in its original language is in the plural form. Pretty striking, huh? Isn't that the truth of much of the world's economic system, that the greatest of wealth lies with just a few, when the vast majority are significantly at a different standard of living? Even, you know, thousands of years ago, this is written, right? And there's this reality that's brought out. I love that. Scripture nails things and it's timeless. And here's one of them. But the next line, this is going to be kind of the main thrust for everything we talk about in one way or another today. It says this: the borrower is servant to the lender. For us who borrow, for us, another way to say it, who have debt, we serve the lender. We're servants to them, whether that's a bank, a creditor, what have you, we're servants. And you know what, servants is maybe actually a nice way of putting it, because there's another word that we could put there instead of servant that's really important that I think is significant for us to say. The same word that is used for servant here is used in other places in Scripture, but I'm going to go to one real quick and read it to you from 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm just going to read you verse 1. And we're going to see this word servant, but another word used. So the text here reads like this. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband, who served you, is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor," on topic, "has come threatening to take my two sons as," here's the same word, "slaves." We got to hear this. Slaves. Let's flip back real quick. And I know some translations do word it like this. The borrower is slave to the lender. That's so important. Slave. And frankly, I don't think this will be any hard for any of us to accept. Slavery sucks, doesn't it? Why would we want to be slaves? Especially when we have a choice in that when it comes to debt. But nonetheless, so many of us live in this place of slavery. Andy Stanley, when kind of talking about this verse, words it like this, and it's super pointed, but I agree with him, and I'm going to read it, even though it's pointed. He says this: you cannot wholeheartedly follow Jesus as your Savior and remain lost, remain enslaved financially. Why? Because Jesus said too much about money to do so. That's pointed. But there's some truth there. Think of how difficult it is to serve, to follow, to give your all to Jesus when you are consistently under the stress of debt, slavery to the lender. Anyways, there's the preaching. Slavery sucks. But I'm going to put my coach hat on. And we're going to spend a little more time on some coaching, if you will. And you need to know these next kind of 3 points, 2 tips, they come from a man by the name of Dave Ramsey. I've tweaked them and made them my own in some ways. I've added my own stories in the midst of it. And these are some, you know, things that I hope for those of you who are like me and have debt, I'll touch on that more in just a bit, will take it seriously and really come at it right from the forefront as hard as you can. Because slavery sucks. So anyways, referencing Dave Ramsey, but then tweaking it from here to make him own, I got three kind of coaching points and then 2 tips that I hope will be helpful. So here's the first thing that I want to share with you. This one's a direct quote from him. Dave Ramsey says this: we need to learn to act our wage. Think about it. You watching this. This is so important. Don't miss it. Act your wage. Don't miss that. You can't miss it. Here's maybe a different way to put it. You need to have a budget, and you need to know your budget, and you need to review your budget. We're going to talk about that in a few different ways. You got to have a budget so that you can act your wage. In a culture, as we just saw in the opening video, in a culture that wants us to have more and more and more stuff and provides endless ways to take on more debt, to have more stuff, you gotta act your wage and you got to have a budget to know how to do that. For Janelle and I, this has become a yearly tradition for us, and it's something we've kind of made a date out of and that we have fun with. Every new year, we like to kind of dress up and take some time to, you know, set some goals and review our budget. But first, before we do that, we actually look back. We look back at the previous year, and we write down things that, you know, have been blessings, things that have been victories, things that have, you know, really kind of just stood out as God moments in our year. And then we look back at goals that we have set, and we review and we just check in and see how that's gone. And some years we do awesome, and frankly, some years, it's a little different. But nonetheless, we like to review those things, keep each other accountable. And then we look forward into the year to come. And as we look forward, we set new goals, we refresh those, and we look at our budget specifically. And as we look at our budget specifically, we kind of take a big picture view of what's going on and what's happening and where can we, you know, fine-tune this. It's become a significant, significant part of our routine. In fact, as we meet with couples who were doing marriage counseling or marriage prep with, preparing them to get married, we always bring this up. Always. And you want to know the crazy thing? Over the whatever it's been now, 15 or so years that her and I have specifically done marriage prep and I've been a part of, you know, the ceremonies where we marry people off. There's only been a couple of our couples that have actually even done a budget together. It's crazy to me. Only a couple of them. So something that seems so common sense to us, we've learned it's just not happening. I mean, so many people. So we force them to do it. We give them homework and we tell them to take it home and bring it back. And we'll let them choose if they want to give us the in-depth and we go through it line by line together, or they just want to show us and give us the big picture. We let them choose. But we force them to do that because it's so, so important. You cannot act your wage if you don't have a budget. Now, here's one of the great things about acting your wage and making a budget. You are able to step back and make a decision about what you cannot afford, right? You can step back and make a decision about what you cannot afford. That's important, because when you live in this place of owning what you can afford, it brings peace. There's so much peace. I'll give you an example for us on this one. Janelle and I many, many times have drove around and looked at new vehicles for her to drive, just for fun. But we have chosen to not get a new vehicle because we know we cannot afford that second new vehicle. We know, so we don't. Now, as great as I think Janelle would look driving, you know, a nice little, you know, fancy kind of souped up Honda Civic that would get way better gas mileage and all that kind of stuff, she looks just as good driving a 2007 Pontiac Torrent that we have no payments on. And man, the stress that relieves from our life day by day. So that's what we do. We choose what we cannot afford because we know if we own what we can afford, we have peace. So act your wage. That's the first one, okay? And then I already kind of, you know, hinted at this one. But as a part of that, review it. Regularly review your budget and then track it. Track your budget. Now, some of you might be listening here and you might even be debt-free, which is awesome. One day I'm going to be just like you. Sooner than later, hopefully. You know, Pastor, that doesn't really, you know, apply. We're in a good place. It's pretty good. You know, I know the general idea. It's all right. It's going to be okay. All right, let's hold on that thought. Let's for a moment just think that or consider that every one of us has a financial planner. We just all have that, let's say. And we step into the office of our financial planner and we say to them, hey, give me the big picture and the details. Tell me, like, where am I at? What is going on? And let's just for a moment assume that that financial planner says, yeah, don't worry, you'll be fine. You know, you're debt free. It's okay. You don't need to know the numbers. You'd probably press in and say, no, but I came here to learn the numbers. Like, what are the numbers? Like, nah, that doesn't matter. You know, you don't really need to know them. What would you do? You would fire them. Like, I'm paying you to keep track of my numbers, and you're not keeping track of my numbers. See you later. I'm finding a new one. This we'll touch on next week when we get into being managers. The reality is we're all managers. God's entrusted us with that stuff. And he's asked us to keep track. We're representing him. And so it's just good, healthy practice to keep track. Now, I confess to you, I don't always do this to the best degree I can. I admit it to you. I got to get better. I'm coaching myself on this. But it's important to keep track, to know where those numbers are at. So, act your wage, track your spending. Why? Because slavery sucks. All right, third thing. You need to get rid of dumb debt. Now, some people will say, well, there's no such thing as smart debt. I'm not here to have that conversation. We don't need to get into all that for the sake of time and what have you. But what I mean here is you have to, all right? You got to get rid of your dumb debt. Credit card debt. Dumb. I talk about this as well with every single couple that I marry, because most of them are starting off without it. Don't start it. Don't you dare start it. That is dumb debt. And I told you Coach Ken Hatt was coming on. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm trying to shoot straight because I want you to win. I hate seeing people I love lose. Credit card debt is dumb. You got to get rid of that as soon and as fast as possible. And if you have a credit card issue, you got to cut those things up and get rid of them. You cannot keep them. I don't care about the points. I don't care about them. If you can't manage it, get rid of it. There's not a millionaire in the world who's made $1 million because of his points on his credit cards or her points on their credit card. Stupid. It's stupid, dumb debt. Get rid of it, all right? First thing. Second thing, I already talked about this. You got to get rid of dumb debt. Our world gives us a means to finance just about any and everything, don't they? Furniture financing, entertainment financing, hobby financing, any of this stuff, dumb. You got to get rid of it and you got to stop doing it and never do it again. It's destructive and it turns you into a slave, and slavery sucks, okay? Dumb. You can't do it. Vehicle debt. Dumb. And I have a vehicle debt, all right? I have a truck payment. I'm going to give the exact number on Sunday, and I'm going to tell them because I trust and love them, and I'm going to get to that point in just a minute. But with the World Wide Web watching, I just want to say it like this. Dumb. Vehicle debt is dumb. All right? It is not good. It's slave to the lender. We don't want to be slaves. All right? So here I am preaching and coaching myself. Now, Dave Ramsey says it like this, because I don't want anyone to miss this. Debt is not a salvation issue. Whew. All right. You tracking with me? It's not a salvation issue. I'm not questioning, do you know Jesus? I'm not questioning, do you live for Jesus? I'm not questioning, will you be with Jesus when you die? None of that. That's just biblically dumb. All right? So there you have it. So, kind of three, areas of coaching. Act your wage, track your spending, and get rid of dumb debt. Now, I want to give you two tips to wrap up that I really believe are going to help you, and tips that have actually personally helped me, all right? And I already kind of hinted at one of them. Here's the first one. Make your debt public. Tell someone you trust. Now, you might be thinking to yourself right now, Pastor Ken, that's personal. That's private information. You think your debt's private? Your debt is not private. The bank knows exactly what you owe them. The government knows exactly what you owe them. The creditors know exactly what you owe. It is not private. And they do not have your best interests at heart. But the people that you love closest, they do. And they'll cheer you on. They'll hold you accountable. Tell someone that you trust. Make it public. I'm going to do it Sunday to the whole congregation. Make it public. Because until you put it out there and feel the, all right, time to get serious, you might not get serious. And slavery sucks. So make your debt public. I really, really encourage you to do that. Second tip. Dave Ramsey calls this the debt snowball. I just call it start at the smallest and go biggest. And here's the thing. Before I even knew who Dave Ramsey was, before I even heard of a debt snowball, before I even understood any of his teaching around personal finances and how to make good steps forward and what have you, I understood this. I don't like being a slave, and I knew debt was dumb. And so Janelle and I, we got married. She was 21. I was 22. And we had 6 student loans between the two of us. And they were they ranged in size, and they ranged in interest rates depending on where we had to borrow to take these student loans and what have you. And I knew I had to get rid of these stuff because I did not want to be a slave. I did not want to be under this umbrella of debt, and I didn't want to be there long term. So I still remember it. I was sitting at this table. It had a brown top and green legs, and I had carved Janelle's name on it when we were dating, and there it was in our really super ghetto apartment, but it was close enough to work that I could walk so I could save money on gas. And we sat down there, and we put these out there, and I said, how are we going to do this? We got to get rid of these things. And so I made a conscious choice to not worry about the interest rate at that moment, but to go after the smallest one. I think it was around $1,000. I'm telling you, we're in this ghetto apartment, and we were eating rice and Itchy Band, and I was putting every dime I had into that first one. And within a month or two, boom, gone. And then I took the payment that I had to make with it, and I rolled it into the second one. And I kept eating rice and Itchy Band. And I rolled it in that second one. Within a couple more months, boom, gone. Got rid of that one. And then I remember a couple in my church. They were pig farmers. They brought me half a pig, and I thought I was a king. Because now I was eating pork chops. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is good. You know, like, I really remember that. And I'm thinking, I remember thinking to myself, like, God's seen, like, I'm faithful. I didn't ask, just someone showed up with pork, and I was like, whoo, meat. And we did the same thing with the third one. Within a couple years, we had all of them gone. Now, I'm not saying that to brag or to what have you. I'm genuinely look back at 22-year-old Ken, and I'm proud of him. Because he understood something. Debt is dumb. And slavery sucks. And so whatever debt load you're carrying right now, snowball it. Start that smallest one and pick it off. And cut as many expenses you can. I'm not even kidding you. We were in a ghetto apartment. If I described to you, it was nasty. All right? I walked to work most of the time. And I literally ate rice and Itchy Band and the cheapest food I could because I wanted to get rid of that. You gotta take serious steps if you wanna get serious about debt. You gotta. It's the only way you can get through it. So make it public and then debt snowball it and get serious about it. Because debt is dumb and slavery sucks. And I share this today, again, not because I'm asking for anything from you, but it's what I want for you. Because could you imagine? If we had a church family where every single person was free from slavery to debt, including the preacher, man, how cool would that be? I think about the things we could dream, come up with. How cool would that be? So again, I warned you at the beginning, and I hope you hear me. I share all this today because I hate seeing people I love lose, and I love seeing people I love win. So act your wage, track your spending, and then you begin and be on that road to taking debt serious, kicking it in the butt. Because God wants you to live with new levels of freedom when it comes to your finances. I hope you heard me, heart. And you know I want you to win, to be successful. So God bless. Now go kick that debt in the butt.